Bread and cup. It's my prayer that this service you will remember. Sometimes religious experiences seem to run together. But I ask you to stay with me. I ask you to open your mind and your heart. And I pray that you will walk away from this hour never forgetting what we're about to do. In 1999, there was a Harris poll taking, one of those opinion surveys. 40% of those who answered that poll, which was supposed to be a supposed reference, cross-reference of American society, 40% of those responded to the question, what in life do you fear most? To one word, snakes. Now, 40% of those said their greatest fear was a snake. These are the same 40% that don't think a thing about getting into a car, going 70 miles an hour on a freeway with people going faster or a little bit slower, darting in and out. And I would consider myself to be one of those. Snakes. There's a pond right down from my house. Less than a month ago, I was out chipping balls with a 7-iron and came face to face with a snake. What did I do? I screamed and I ran. My 7-iron, I wasn't going to sacrifice it. Snakes. Think about it. Think about your snake story. Are any snake stories warm and fuzzy? No. Do you think of the days when you had your pet rubber snake and you cuddled with that snake going down for a nap? No. No snake stories are warm and fuzzy. The only thing that I remember that brings a little bit of a smile is a song I remember hearing when I was younger that we passed along to our kids, but not at bedtime, and it went like this. I'm being swallowed by a boa constrictor. I'm being swallowed by a boa constrictor. I'm being swallowed by a boa constrictor, and I don't know what to do. Oh, no, he's up to my toe. Oh, no, he's up to my toe. Oh, me, he's got my knee. Oh, fiddle, he's up to my middle. Oh, heck, he's up to my neck. Oh, dread, he swallowed my... I'm being swallowed by a boa... On and on and on. No snake story brings back warm and fuzzy memories. I'd like to introduce Jenny, who is a member of our church. And she has a friend. How you doing? Good to see you. Yeah, great to see you. This is your snake.
Yes.
And her name?
Her name is Diamond Girl.
Her name is what?
Diamond Girl.
Diamond Girl. Okay.
Diamond
Girl has a crush on me? No, she doesn't. No, I don't think she does. But would, could I touch
sure.
Diamond Girl? I can hold her?
You can hold her.
Like so?
Let's grab her by the tail first.
Grab her by the tail first. Okay.
And then hold her.
And then hold her here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I need my hand back. No, don't grab her head.
Don't grab her head. Don't grab her. Okay.
I don't make her know you.
No. Would you please? Yeah, you hang on. We'll hold her together.
Okay.
Okay. Diamond Girl is a...
Colombian red-tailed boa.
A boa constrictor.
Yes.
Okay. And she is pretty docile, it seems.
She's an awesome girl. She gives kisses.
She gives kisses. That.
You want a kiss?
That. I have never, ever done this in my life. I don't want to shake. Done this in my life. And I have held. I'm now holding a snake. How old is
you
Diamond Girl?
You are now completely holding her. Huh. No, let go. Don't let go.
Don't let go. Oh, okay.
There you go.
How old is Diamond Girl?
She's 10 years old.
10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And Diamond Girl lives with you?
Yes.
This is amazing. I want to thank you for bringing Diamond Girl.
You're welcome.
And I'm kind of wondering how best to relinquish her to you. So I just, like this, okay.
And she knows her mama, so she'll just let go.
Okay, all right. If we give a round of applause, will that, okay. Thank you, Jenny. Thank you very much for bringing. Brian, you're taking her to my study. Okay. I won't be going in there. Snakes. Of all the issues I have with snakes, keep in mind that the ancient world viewed snakes differently than we do. For instance, they coexisted with vipers in Old Testament and New Testament times. They really didn't have any choice. If you go back to perhaps the tomb of King Tut from Egypt, one of the pharaohs, you might not be able to see, but at the top of his headdress is a hooded cobra. Just to the left of his neck is the familiar form of a serpent, a snake. They provided protection. In this depiction, anyone who would threaten the Pharaoh would have venom spit upon them by the cobra that protected him. If you serve in the medical field, then you will know this symbol very clearly. The caduceus. It is the staff with two intertwining snakes that is the symbol of the American Medical Association. If you ask anyone who's ever had surgery, they will tell you that the people who operate under this caduceus, this symbol, those who are doctors and caregivers, many times have to what? Have to hurt you in order to heal you. Snakes. Snakes not only figure prominently in ancient times, but they figure most prominently on the pages of Scripture. Now, we think of those negative connotations, and those are there. But one of the strange, unheard-of stories that we had in our Bible readings this past week falls in the book of Numbers, the 21st chapter. It's a very strange, perplexing passage when I first read it. For it says, "The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. So the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord, and you must intercede with the Lord that he may remove the serpents from us.' And Moses interceded for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Make a fiery serpent and set it on a standard, and it shall come about that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he will live.' And Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on the standard. And it came about that if a serpent bit any man, when he looked to the bronze serpent, he lived." Most interesting, isn't it? The people disgruntled, the people taking their eyes off of God, were suddenly reminded. It's easy to be reminded of that which is important when all around your ankles are slithering snakes ready to bite you. And when you're bitten, the fiery venom will take your life. The people interceded and asked Moses to intercede on their behalf. And Moses was most happy to, because he had had his own negative experiences with snakes in the past. But God didn't answer the prayer just like Moses prayed it. He said, "Make a snake out of bronze and put it on a pole. And when people are bitten, if they look to the serpent, to the snake, they'll be healed." Now, I bring that up because the most amazing part of it all is that Jesus mentioned this very story when he was talking to a man named Nicodemus in the third chapter of John. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And through the midst of their discussion, when it got to the 14th verse of the third chapter of John, these are the red letter words of Jesus. As Moses lifted up the serpent, the snake, in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. Now, if I'm mistaking this, correct me, but it seems to me that Jesus not only called himself the Good Shepherd, but he calls himself the Good Snake. To even think of Jesus in those terms goes against the way I feel, but it's all in harmony with what the Word of God teaches us. See, you've got to color outside the line sometimes, my friends. You've got to think outside the box. If you're going to get real about the Bible, you have to interpret the Bible for what it is. And the Bible here tells us that there's something about the snake. Its venom that can be so deadly, but its venom can also be that which heals us. And here Jesus, knowing full well that Nicodemus knew this story about the fiery serpents in the Old Testament. He knew what Moses had to do. He knew that they held up that standard, that bronze serpent, and people looked upon it and were spared, were saved. And maybe Jesus was simply saying, I'm not too unlike this snake. For I too have come into your presence unaware. I too have said words that you consider to be venomous. I too have said the truth like it is, and it stings and it hurts and it can bring about destruction. And just like you do with any common snake, you seek to take an axe and chop off its head. And so people will do the same to me, and they will put me upon a stick. But then when all is said and done, they will understand that the one who brought venomous words of prophecy and doom and destruction, those same words can be used to heal. And all those who gather around the Son of Man, when he is lifted high upon the standard, upon the cross, will be able to look and say, truly, this is the Son of God. Folks, I don't know exactly all that it means. But I do know we've got to take some serious reconsidering of our thoughts when we come to Bread and Cup today. Because that which I have always considered to be far removed from me is now right in front of my face. Is it true that in order for Christ to really work within our hearts and within our lives, at times we've got to be hurt in order to be healed? Yes. So we lift Jesus as Moses did a serpent, and we're challenged to look upon him to receive our healing. If our deacons will come, we will serve the bread and cup.